Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To Marloni, Fourier, and Mego. We're going to get back to the Patriots. All the latest news with Mac Jones, who's going to join us within the hour. So sometime before 5 o'clock, we are hoping he's going to join us by phone, get the latest on how he's feeling and that high ankle sprain as reported. But first, let's return to Celtics Media Day, unexpectedly without Ime Udoka. And so Tatum and Brown, they were both asked about their new coach, Joe Mazzulla. Yeah. Let's first hear from Jason Tatum. Here's Jason Tatum talking about his relationship with Joe Mazzulla.
He's been a great help to myself, to the other guys, to the team as a whole from the last few years that he's been here. And he's motivated. And I think, you know, with the right intentions, and if, you know, you're motivated, then, you know, you're going to be successful. And, you know, we're going to have to help him, and he's going to have to help us. And, you know, we're all in this together. And it's not like somebody new. It's just, you know, same guy we know, just in a different kind of position. So, you know, just kind of looking forward to just playing basketball, honestly.
It sounds
same
like
Same guy,
it.
Different position? What? Is that it?
Yeah, same guy, yeah. Same coach, same, just not the assistant coach. He's now the head coach.
Yeah, Matt Patricia, same guy, different role.
Oh, yeah. So that wouldn't be a downgrade, right? So, I mean,
I don't know, you don't want to be disrespectful, but it is
100% a downgrade.
Well, if you think Ime's a great coach, would you give him a ton of credit? I mean, at one point, we're like,
he deserves
all the credit in the world, given the turnaround that he had with this club.
But I didn't know a ton about Ime until I saw him coach, and he was a first-time head coach. I'm not saying that it's not going to be a downgrade. I'm just reserving a little bit of judgment. He sounds like he's been thrust into the spotlight from being in the wings, and it is a tough situation for him to be in.
It isn't even fair to criticize him, to be honest with you. I'm just saying, it's, to me, it's a downgrade. I don't see how it is. Ime's already identified himself to be capable of doing a bunch of things, right? Controlling the emotions of the locker room, dealing with all the different personalities, in motivating them to play after a loss. Like, he did everything. Like, they respected Ime Udoka. Like, I feel like this guy, being the assistant coach who's been here, for 3 years, is more of their buddy. Like, so suddenly now I'm telling you guys to make sure you're home in time for bed check. I'm trying to –
That's a problem.
I just feel like there's – now, listen, maybe they respect him enough not to get him in trouble. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe maybe Al, wise old Al, takes control of every pregame speech and every postgame speech. You know, maybe after the head Mazzulla talks, they all look to Al. Anything, Al? And then Al says, no, he's what he said.
I'm not sure.
Go Celtics!
Yeah, man, that's what it is.
I'm not sure that's the most respectful approach either. By the way, speaking of Al Horford, Jared Weiss from The Athletic, he tweeted out, Al Horford says he is planning to play back-to-backs this season after preparing his body in the offseason to handle that workload. So he's picking up a little bit of,
he's going to pick up the slack.
Yeah, there
you go. I don't know if that's good either.
Why?
Well, I mean, do you want Al playing back-to-backs?
What's up, guys?
If his body
Who's
is
gonna tell him
ready.
No?
I mean, you're in a position where he may be forced to, and that's Brad Stevens' fault. But I don't know if I want him playing back-to-backs. If anybody said it, should be that guy. You want him fresh. You want him kind of healthy, don't
See,
you?
See, I do think it's a downgrade, but I don't think it's a total disaster based on the roster that you have. Now, you say, Lou, that they were disgruntled. Ime kind of handled it with non-team meetings. Like, didn't have a team meeting, had guys just hanging out in the same area talking about things that bothered them.
See, I see it as the situation with this roster is pretty different than it was last year, where they're coming off of being in the finals. So now they're like, we've got stuff at stake here. We've got a possible championship run at stake here. Whereas I think last year when Ime came in, it was like, hey, we like this guy. We picked this guy in part to lead this team. But they didn't add any major additions to this roster. They didn't tweak anything in a big way.
I actually think it's, but
the expectations were lower, so it was kind of going into last season. I could understand how they could be disgruntled because it's like, holy crap, it's another season of this post-Kyrie void weirdness with all of us having these issues.
But I could make the argument that it's needed even more so this year for going to the NBA Finals, thinking you've already accomplished everything. Remember, we sat here, this organization would sit there and say, we've gone to the Eastern Conference Championship 3 out of the last 4 years. Like, it was something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, like they were in the NBA Finals 3 out of 4 years or won it 3 out of 4 years. So I would say, you know, getting to the NBA Finals and losing, I think your job's even harder that following year, because how many times have we seen that? Teams just disappear because they think they've already arrived.
See, I would like to look at the other side of it where possibly, I don't know, maybe this is how my nature is, where I'm just going to be totally transparent. Like, if I'm going on a job somewhere for something, let's say I'm on a contract for something, and they're like, we're paying you $5 an hour for this. I'm like, I don't have that much to gain. I don't have that much to lose. Whatever, you know? That's essentially how they were last week. No, I'm going to try, but I'm not going to, like, work the whole 48 hours before preparing for it. If they're like, we're paying you $300 an hour, you know, whatever, then I'm like, well, crap. You know, I'm not going to, like, blow this. I want them to ask me back. When you have something more concrete at stake, like returning to an NBA Finals and knowing that you can do that, I think your approach just as a human is different.
Who was the manager after Farrell?
Are you talking about Bobby Valentine?
Valentine. This is what Mazzulla is.
Oh,
no,
God.
Valentine was before Farrell.
Was he before Farrell? Okay, he was after who?
Cora came after him.
Okay. What, Tyler?
I have a better comparison. Just happened last year. Rich Bisaccia, longtime NFL coach, head coach, you know, fired out of nowhere. It was kind of a curveball thrown to the Raiders.
Yeah.
But they were better suited because he's a veteran coach who's been in the game for 30 years, whereas Joe Mazzulla has coached in the NBA for 3 years. He's never, by the way, served in the front of an NBA bench ever in his life, which means you're a head coach or a top three NBA assistant. He's always sat behind the bench.
And didn't he get the job for Utah also with the other assistant?
It was a courtesy interview by Danny.
Oh, okay.
Danny
was solid.
Yeah. I would say that's like the proper mindset you would think. Mego, you're talking about like, oh, we get closer, we're going to come back even hungrier. I would say that there is a ton of more evidence of the opposite in professional sports. How many teams get to the finals of their sport and never come back? And just lose it. And I know in the NFL, it's a huge thing. I mean, you know, the Bengals came out the first 2 weeks sleepwalking. We'll see what their year looks like. But how many times the Super Bowl champs or NBA Finals, it's like, okay, I mean, I don't know. I think the job is even harder this year, quite frankly. I think Grant Williams thinks he's arrived. I think Marcus Smart thinks he's a top three point guard in the game. I think, you know, Tatum thinks he should be MVP. And Jaylen Brown thinks he should be MVP too.
Okay, you bring up Jaylen Brown. So Jaylen Brown was asked at Celtics Media today about Joe Mazzulla, how he feels about suddenly having a new coach in the last week. His answer, very interesting. Let's hear it.
I'm optimistic. I believe in Joe. Joe believes in me. I've had conversations with him. I don't think he sees a limit on my game, or I think he's coming in excited. So I'm optimistic.
He loves me.
He wants to feed me. I'm his favorite.
See,
that's what it is.
I wonder the dynamic on that team, right? We always hear about like Jaylen Brown's kind of like, you know, Robin. He feels disrespected. Tatum's like the guy. I wonder if like Joe Mazzulla's job as an assistant was, you know, to kind of keep Jaylen Brown, like, hyping him up. Like, listen, man, you stay with it. I know you're not getting the attention you deserve, but there's no limits to your game. You can be the superstar.
He's his hype man.
You can take, he's his hype man.
Oh,
all of a sudden, he's like, my hype man's now the head coach.
Oh,
this
geez.
Is awesome. Kanye's going to love this guy.
I'm sorry. That cut is so funny to me. Like, the more that I hear it, it's, I believe in Joe. Joe believes in me. I don't think he sees a limit on my game. And it's like, okay, What about the rest of the team, Jalen? This is the exact opposite, by the way, of what we heard in the postseason just a couple months ago when Jaylen Brown was asked, like, hey, your coach Ime Udoka said this about your ball handling and needing
to was talking to the whole team.
In this case,
it's like, oh, you want to know how I feel about the new coach? New coach loves me. New coach doesn't see a limit on my game.
Old coach used to say there was a limit on my game. New coach says there's not.
Old coach thought this way about everybody, but new coach believes in me.
Yeah.
It's
no limits
so
to my game.
Funny.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see a difference.
You think he's gonna be a good coach? He loves me.
Joe believes in me.
He believes in me, and he knows I'm better than Jason. Wait, did I say that out loud?
No.
He always, that's weird. Sometimes I didn't mean that.
Meanwhile, like, Tatum's answer was the equivalent of, yeah, he's been hanging around for a couple years, so we're going to help him out here.
I'm telling you, like, it could be, this should, I think their chances of going to the finals, I think, have dropped significantly. Based on who's in charge now, and just the overall turmoil inside that building.
A month ago, I thought this team was going to roll. This was going to be like a regular season, like, roll. Like, they're going to be, you know, the regular season record, because you add Gallinari and Brogdon, everybody comes back, Ime, you got a team that's deeper. You know, you just thought that they were just going to take off and win 60 games or something. It's ridiculous. Now it's like, oh, boy. I don't feel that way at all. I know people had them favored in the East. I don't. No, it's a mess. I think it's a mess. I'm worried about.
This is a terrible position for this guy to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations, have you automatically lowered the expectations, though? Like, don't you kind of have to?
Yes.
So, therefore, you're not going to be yelling and screaming at him for messing up or calling the wrong play. Like, I mean, I almost put more of a burden on the players. I feel like the burden is more on the players, and I do think they should be able to handle it, at least for a year.
The best case scenario is that this is a major distraction to begin the season, and the worst case scenario is so much worse than that. I do want to take one call here. Let's go to line one, Ryan, Zach in Quincy. Zach, you're on.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Zach?
Just to add a theory here, or maybe not a theory, but a potential outcome of this, if it doesn't work out with Joe, like you're saying, worst case scenario, I do really believe the best candidate for the Celtics coaching position would be the big ticket himself, because he could take on that personality of, you know, keeping everyone else in check. No one's going to really be a bigger personality than him. And I do feel like he could help Rob Williams ascend into becoming an all-star as well. I'll leave you guys.
You know if you're going to look like 6 months from now, you're going to sit there and write the headline like we do for on Fridays for the Patriots game. You would sit there and go, the biggest mistake is Brad Stevens didn't just become the coach. Like, Brad Stevens should just be the coach for a year. Pat Riley
Joe
did
believes
it.
In me.
Pat Riley did it.
Pat Riley was a successful coach.
Listen, but Brad Stevens is probably the most respected guy in that building. So why wouldn't you just 1 year just suck it up? Are you so just uptight about coaching?
We just got through talking. Actually, I think they disrespect him. They didn't listen to him.
I know, but it's different now.
It took 3 months to break bad habits that they learned under Brad Stevens, because he let them do what the hell they wanted.
Do you think it's better?
As a coach, there was no accountability for
that. You think
that
it's better that, like, Joe Mazzulla run the team or Brad Stevens run the team?
Brad Stevens see what said it does. Was by, what did you say, like, by a mile better
and
than
nobody
Joe Mazzulla.
Believes him.
He
and Wick
doesn't
was like,
want
whatever.
That freaking job.
No, that's what it is.
He's
but
like,
if he
never
really
again.
Wants to, if he wants to save the franchise, he needs to be the head coach.
It's so funny to me that we sat around, like, or at least I know I sat around 2 years ago being like, Brad's leaving coaching. He's a coach. It's like, he can't leave coaching. He's going to want to go back in a couple years. And now, being at that press conference, his face when Wick said, oh, we actually had a conversation, a very brief conversation about coaching, and he stared daggers at Wick and was like, absolutely freaking not. We are not going down this road again. Anyway, a lot there at Celtics Media Day.
I believe in Joe.
Jalen Brown very high on his new coach Joe
Mazzulla. Believes in me.
And Kevin Garnett, it looks like he said in 2021, by the way, to that caller referring to him as the big ticket, he said, freaking no, hell nah. he'd be fired, hired and fired all in the same week. So we don't need that. We are going to return to the Patriots right after trending. Boomer Esiason was on the Greg Hill Show, talked about what kind of game Mac Jones was playing before that horrible injury that he suffered. We're going to have details on the latest with that injury, and we're hoping to hear from Mac Jones via phone in just about a half hour. So don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Monday morning, what do you think the headline would be coming off a Patriots win or loss?
Quote the Ravens never score.
I think it should be quote the Patriots never score.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that.
Quote,
I mean,
quote,
technically quote. They score because they kick a
quote?
Touchdown.
Quote.
All right, so I'm going to try and get this clean because it's very wordy. All right, so mine is...
Pat, no answer for Lamar as Jackson accounts for 400 total yards.
Wait.
Oh, like a Michael Jackson reference?
Yeah, there you go.
Wait.
Yeah, you
I
get like it?
That. Yeah, I do get it.
You finally got it. Like,
Jackson says beat it.
To the pass. Damn it. That's a better one, too.
Michael Jackson reference.
Hold on.
Jackson says beat it. Lamar Ravens run through the Patriots.
Because that's what I think happens. It might be boring, creative. But it'll be it.
You should have gone first.
Yeah, Lamar.
How about that?
Jackson leaves Foxborough as a smooth criminal. Sorry, Miss Jackson. This team's for real.
Jackson, colon, thriller.
After falling to 1-2, the Patriots must look at the man in the mirror. Pat's home opener. They eat it.
I went Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, see, yeah, I heard that one, too.
Yes.
I like it.
Patriots are bad.
Oh.
That's work.
Well, that's what our headline sounded like Friday, anticipating what they might be on Monday. Nobody had Mactastrophe like you saw in the Boston Herald with him being
that was close.
Carried in the tunnel off the field.
Close to which one?
not a good one. I don't know. Yeah, we were all kind
of so who gets the award? Because I'm looking at – so I said, you know, close to 400 yards of total offense. It wasn't 400 yards, but it counted for 5 touchdowns. And I swear I saw him do a Michael Jackson at the end of one of those touchdowns. I feel like mine is the most accurate to what actually happened.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, they ran for 188 yards.
So total.
And then he ran for 107.
So yes.
You could say Lamar Ravens run through the Patriots.
Yeah. He threw 3 touchdown passes.
Well, they
he
ran
threw
for
4 touchdown passes.
Yards.
Two to what's his face? The tight end. And then another one to DuVernay. And there was the other guy. There was four touchdown passes.
Watson, what's his name?
Oliver.
Oh, that's right.
Josh Oliver.
I was like, he didn't necessarily run.
He did everything. He was an all-purpose guy. So technically, for 2 weeks in a row now, I feel like Foye gets the win. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
as Jackson accounts for 400 total yards.
Anybody see that headline?
I don't know.
See that anywhere?
I don't think anyone.
He only had 325, but it was close.
Well, I mean, again, you're not going to hit it on the note. Yeah. It's 320.
That's closer to 300 than 400.
He barely even played. He like they basically
what was
sat him.
Mine was way off.
What was it?
It was, quote, the Patriots never
scored.
Yeah,
you tried too hard. But they did score a lot, so you're totally wrong. They scored a lot of points, so you're like in last place.
You know what I do? I play this to win on Friday, not on Monday.
Wow.
I like
you lost on Friday and on Monday.
For like a little excitement, you know, and then Monday, I don't care. I'm past
predicting like headlines. There was like a small little part of me almost anticipating like, you know, Mac goes down type of thing. But
that's
you can't.
Because you're a
you
sick
say it.
Person.
No, I didn't say it. I'm not a
you
sick
thought
person.
It,
but there was
you're
in the back of my
puppy.
Mind.
You willed it.
I would have nailed it.
He's a sick puppy.
And what was yours again? One more time. What was yours?
It was Lamar Ravens run through the Patriots.
Can we get a producer score on this? Can we get a Ryan, Tyler?
The official score has Lou Maloney's answer as, quote, Jackson tells Patriots to beat it. That's what I had down.
That wasn't the original
one. That wasn't his, though.
Was that your official answer?
No,
that
was not my official answer because you brought the Michael Jackson theme. So we started throwing around. We started throwing around Jackson, Michael Jackson themes. But my original one was Lamar Ravens run through the Patriots.
But did you say Lamar Jackson tells the Patriots to beat it? Or was that Tyler's? I feel like that was Tyler or Ryan's.
Well, if you gave that suggestion to him, then you won twice this week.
I think that's kind of what happened.
Good job, Christian. Right, Christian, there you go, buddy.
There you go again.
Well done.
Well, I tell you what.
Really
Tommy
need more
Nostradamus.
Out of you two, though.
Yeah, so there's,
you guys are really holding us up really right over here.
So there's your headline. We're still waiting for
it.
Once again, as we said, we do plan on talking to Mac Jones. He's addressing the media, I believe, at 4:30 via Zoom.
We got it right here. So if he shows up to the Zoom press conference, we'll watch it.
We will talk to him by phone. He just won't be in person. We're just down here chill out hanging.
Why do you think he's not in person? Because he's in the building. You think they don't want to see him walking in here?
We don't know
that. Are you sure he's in the building?
Oh, that's true. Well, is he on a private jet heading down to Bama?
Well, this way they can just wheelchair him up to a Zoom.
Yeah.
And he could just be in a wheelchair.
I'm going to look for the wheelchair handlebars.
And then they can just give him a phone. You don't see him in person.
This is horrible, but it's kind of like, they're doing it kind of like the FDR addresses during World War II when nobody wanted him to know.
Oh, so they were hiding it?
Sitting down.
See, Lou was asking me.
The fireside chats with Mac Jones.
Lou was asking, he's like, wouldn't he be on crutches? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I feel like nowadays they put him in a boot. Whenever you see these guys have these issues, even like a torn Achilles, they put him in a boot. They don't walk around in crutches.
No, but I think there's different stages. You'll be in a boot with crutches because they don't want pressure on the boot. And then you'll graduate to where you can throw the crutches away and you can walk around with just a boot. You know what I mean? But I think initially, you can't just be in a boot with it. You got to be on crutches, I think, to get through the first week or so. And then you can get rid of the crutches and just walk around in a boot.
They don't even really use the crutches anymore now. They have the little scooter. Because, the crutches put that uncomfortable
crutches are advanced.
Weight on your armpits.
Now, those old crutches that we used to use and, that were just like, they would rip to shreds your armpits.
That's not good for a quarterback.
So they're going to have a video of him like on his little scooter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they put a knee down and you just scoot around.
Yeah, but that's for a broken leg, something where you can't put any pressure on. He has a high ankle sprain. You're still walking. Yeah, you can walk. You're not walking on crutches. Like you're probably in a boot. They stabilize the foot. They don't let you move it. And then they just kind of, go from there. I'm a no crutches guy. And I think if a guy that wouldn't allow himself to lay on the ground after he hurt himself that hopped off on one leg all the way into the tunnel, I don't think he's walking around on crutches.
Would you like some good news?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Bears wide receiver, former Patriots great, N'Keal Harry, had a severe high ankle sprain August 11th. The timetable is him for to return mid-October. That'd be 2 months.
Wait, that's the
good news?
8 weeks.
That's not good
news.
If Mac Jones is back in 8 weeks, that's absolutely great news.
I think your four weeks is good
God.
News.
No,
for 8 weeks is
for a severe high ankle sprain.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Anything but a season miss for Mac Jones is great news,
right.
I think, right?
We have some detective work from Andrew Callahan.
Oh.
He says, two Patriot staffers just pulled shoes. Hold on. Let me.
What?
It's reloading. This is, this is from.
Satin shoes?
That was from after the game.
This is yesterday.
This is from after the game. He said, two Patriot staffers just pulled shoes out from Mac Jones's locker and went into the training room. You'd think he wouldn't need a left shoe if he was already in a boot, but his status remains TBD.
Look at Callahan.
Well, you're not going to leave one
so
shoe.
Get on it, Andrew. Into the boot last night.
I'm just saying, you're not going to be like, hey, just bring his right shoe. This is his left shoe. No, you're going to bring both shoes and take his shoe home.
Yeah.
I'm right? Like, that means nothing.
I love the fact that everybody's allowed, the reporters are allowed in the locker room again, getting all the info. He didn't take a shirt.
Can we just say this? And God bless the reporters. I love them. Since they've been allowed to be back in the locker room for the first time, they're obsessed with what they see in the locker room. Yeah. It's like, oh, the Mac Jones has a picture of this, of that last game in his locker. And, oh, by the way, like, this person, you know, had this ready in their locker. And so-and-so, like, Kendrick's locker was ready to go, and this person's locker wasn't ready to go. What does that mean? It's like, bro, we get it. We get that you guys get to be back in the locker room.
While.
We're happy for you.
Nobody knows how to act. I get it. Nobody
Everyone's
knows how to act.
Weird.
Did you know Mac Jones has Tom Brady's old locker?
Ooh, who's next to him? That's all. It's not Kendrick Bourne, because I figured he'd be playing more.
Probably Billy Bailey.
Yeah. So we're waiting. We'll talk to Mac Jones in a little bit.
Is it Billy or Bailey Billy? Is it Billy Zappi or Bailey Zappi?
Bailey Zappi.
He has two first names.
Just think of Bailey like the alcohol. Okay. Bailey's.
So just to update where
He's
we are.
He's a creamy man.
Earlier today, Tom Pelissero tweeted out, rather. Test confirmed Patriots quarterback Mac Jones suffered a pretty severe, in quotes, high ankle sprain. The hope is that Jones won't need surgery. Timetable still be determined. Now, he followed that up with Mac Jones. We'll be getting a second opinion, so more will be known in the time frame soon. Mike Giardi followed all that up with that means a significant tear, which was the fear. Team source just now said he'd be surprised if Jones avoids surgery, especially knowing it could speed up the healing. We'll see how the team and player decide to play this. So that's kind of where we're at. Earlier, we were talking about this tightrope kind of surgery, apparently, that was done down at Miami back in 2018 when Tua and Jalen Hurts both had it. Alabama doctor, maybe that's like the second opinion. And he goes down there and just sort of, I don't know, probably figures it out. Now, this tightrope surgery, apparently this is, so in tightrope fixation, surgeons slip a high-strength suture through small holes in the bone.
Ew.
Fasten it with small metal buttons, and then tighten it up as you would a zip tie. Procedure only takes like 25 minutes. Now, Tua and Hurts both got back in like 4 weeks, which is like unheard of for a high ankle sprain. So maybe that's a second opinion. Maybe goes down to Bama
Can
and gets
I
a little tightrope there.
Something stupid.
Procedure.
So they're putting this through the bone. What does that have to do with the like ligament issues?
Well, I would think there's some ligament damage, so it's almost like
Is
keeping
it like
it, the metal thing kind of creates it together. Like it just sort of.
Well, sprain by definition is tearing of ligaments.
Yeah.
I believe. I'm no doctor over here, but.
So what is that? Does it add some extra
it supports
stabilization?
As, more stabilization, I would imagine.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious because the more I hear it, the more I'm like, okay, so you're drilling into the bone. What does that have to do with the ligaments around it?
And you guys think he's back in 6 to 8 weeks? There's no chance. He's Dunsky.
No, okay.
Why is Tyler, like, happy back
there? Oh, no, I'm not happy about it.
Good news.
He's
smiling. I'm looking at him.
We're not live on Twitch right now.
You guys want to hear good news? He's out for 12 weeks.
No, good news would be 8 weeks. Do you not agree with that?
I would say.
No, good news would be 4 weeks.
Severe?
Yeah.
I would say where you are right now, it's a severe high ankle sprain. I agree with Tyler. Like, 8 weeks, you'd be happy. 8 weeks, because that means he's back to football activity.
I'm not happy with 8 weeks.
Happy is 4.
Get out.
4 weeks with all the medical advances and drugs and like tightrope therapy that you're talking about?
They're drilling into his ankle.
We've got small metal buttons you can put on there.
He's young. He should heal quicker. Give him a little bit of HGH, you know, tighten up that healing process. How about that cool sculpting that they have at all these other places? Can he do that?
That's just going to make his ankle skinnier.
That's right. That's what we want, right?
We're not looking for the ankle
swelling.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe he can put it around his belly, get a six pack.
That's very
I would just say, like, your time frame of 4, I think 6 weeks at least, is like football activity. And I think 8 weeks, you get him back. I think that's who you're looking at. You're looking at Brian Hoyer. By the way, real quick, we wanted to play this Boomer Esiason. He was on the Greg Hill Show earlier today talking about Mac Jones and what he saw here in this game against Baltimore.
Here's the thing about this game yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw it the way I saw it. I know a loss is a loss, and there were two really bad decisions that Mac Jones had. But I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the game, and I'm saying to Coach Cower, this may be the best game I've ever seen Mac Jones play. I mean, he looked like he was a dual threat. He ran the ball effectively. I thought he was throwing the ball really good, the best I've seen him throw it. And then, of course, he has two really bad interceptions. And those decisions ultimately are what cost the team the game. And then because they're playing from behind, they end up costing what looks like going to be at least a 3 to 4 week ankle injury. And I don't know how he would be able to play this coming week.
Okay. I agree with that.
Play this coming week. I don't know why we even throw that out there.
But which part?
That's not what I'm
saying. The best game he's played.
Well, I don't know if I would say I think he's exaggerating a tad, but I have to go back and look at those plays. But I feel like he was playing damn well. Like, he was extending plays. He was running when he needed to. Like, he was making – I mean, he really just really taking advantage of Devontae Parker, especially when you thought, hey, listen, Jacoby Myers not even playing. He's not suiting up. That's your binky. That's your go-to guy. First play of the game, you're like, holy crap, Devontae Parker's going nuts.
This, to me, I can't, you know, just sort of pretend like those couple of those picks didn't happen. So, you know, up until that first interception, I think was just awful. You know, up to that point, and you remember, it's about 4 minutes to go in the third quarter when he threw that pick. They were down by eight. You know, he was 13 for 18, but for 211 yards. Like, so it's like 72%, 211 yards. And he was making big plays with his feet when he needed. Up until that point, that's the best I've ever seen him. Because I think last year, like, the best games he had, they were, like, efficient games. He didn't turn the ball over. You know, one of these, like, you know, 18 for 23 games for 230 yards, two touchdowns. Like, that was a great game for Mac. This one here was, like, opened up. You know, throwing the ball accurate. I thought he was fantastic. But you can't call that the best game he's ever had after throwing a couple of picks and the way this game ended. I mean, you got to finish the game. We're not going to actually bring the bar back now. We're like, well, you know what? He was great in the first half. Yeah, he sucked in the second, but still, like, that's a positive. He was great in the first half. No, they played four quarters, you know, and he wasn't good from that. That was an awful pick, you know, when they were down by seven or eight, whatever that was. And the fourth quarter, I didn't think he was good either. Like, there was a couple bad decisions. I can't call it the best game he's ever played.
Well, I mean, okay, so up until then, like, I mean, he does kind of, you know, kind of give himself a, you know, an excuse.
Yeah,
like,
but Boomer's saying,
then,
well, he made a couple bad mistakes, but that was the best he's ever played. And it's like, no, you can't just.
Belichick's probably saying the same thing.
A couple bad plays.
Other than two plays. Yeah, but you're right, though. Obviously, okay, the interceptions were, okay, the first one that he threw.
The Devontae Parker.
Well, was that the first one?
No, the first one was over the middle. Awful.
Oh.
He also threw one right into Queen's hands. That should have went back the other way.
Because you were even thinking, like, I mean, there was the Patriots were doing exactly what they needed to do, at least in the first half. Like, Jonathan Jones gets a pick, and then they get another. And then Jonathan Jones gets a strip fumble, and then Jabril Peppers picks it up. And you're like, wow, they're getting turnovers. They're making a difference. Their defense is forcing them to cough up the ball. And then it just all just got real ugly real quick. So that all those opportunities that you had, you squandered them. The turnovers that you got didn't lead to points. The turnovers that you gave them led to points. So it's still the same old story over and over again. If you play against a good team and you cough it up that many times, you're not going to win. It never works. There's a reason why they have the second worst turnover differential in the NFL, along with New Orleans, along with the Commanders, and along with the Jets. And all those teams, those three teams I just mentioned, they have three wins combined because they can't stop turning it over.
I'm going to do a rare nerd reference here. I don't know if you guys will get this. Like, did you ever play Super Mario? And Mario
yes.
has an evil Mario named Wario?
Yes. Didn't they make a movie out of that, too?
I don't know. But I feel like yesterday we saw Wario Mac. Where it's like, oh, I didn't know Mac could scramble. Oh, I didn't look. Mac got a rushing touchdown. Like, all these things where it's like,
look,
you know, I've heard that he could do that stuff at Alabama and everything, but it just has never been part of his game in the NFL. And it's like, hey, that's great. That's fun to see. And then it's like, oh, why didn't Mac throw that? Like, oh, Mac, that's a Ooh. Mac. Mac
a
wouldn't make
them.
That. Mac
this
wouldn't make that call.
Like
that's
be
not
a couple
a Mac.
Of them a game. That's
yeah.
the problem.
And it's like, so for all the good stuff that we saw and some of the beautiful passes that we saw to Devontae Parker in the end zone, to Kendrick Bourne when he actually got to be out there and across the middle, like great, like dime passes. There's also this. I have this higher level of concern for when he does return that he's either being rushed in his reads or forced to make decisions and look at things that he probably has a gut feeling of, like, it's not there, but this is the call that I'm supposed to follow through with. And that stuff bothers me a lot more than being like, oh, look, Mac's using his legs.
Well, let me go to this other sound here from Boomer real quick, because I think they asked him about the whole redrafting thing. I don't know if I'm going to stop asking that question, but still, redrafting. This was Boomer's redrafting the quarterbacks from last year. This is Boomer's response.
I don't know why we even worry about stuff like this. I mean, I honestly think he is a really good quarterback, and I think he's only going to get better. I thought he played one of his best games except for two decisions, and those decisions got to get cleaned up. So if I had to redraft last year's draft.
Trevor Lawrence, number one.
There is no question about it. He is number one. But last year at this time, Mac Jones stood head and shoulders of every other quarterback drafted. And there's no argument there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No argument whatsoever. Because he should have been rookie of the year. Because playing 17 games and leading your team to the playoffs as a rookie quarterback is virtually impossible.
So, listen, we all give him credit for last year, right? Rookie, playoffs, 10 wins, all that stuff. It's a very good rookie season. But when he says, like, he's only going to get better, some do. But do all? Like, do we just...
I'm just trying to figure out, do all
quarterbacks just every year get better?
What he said to get that huge, like, Muppets chuckle.
What?
At the beginning, can we just hear the beginning of that? I was like... taken so off guard.
I don't know why we even worry about stuff like this. I mean, I honestly...
Well, that was Courtney and Wiggy at the same time.
I'm sorry,
that's what it was.
Like, why do we worry? What do you mean, why do we worry about stuff like this?
That was a mashup of all three of them laughing at the same time. I think I heard Greg in there a little bit, too.
Dot org.
A little bit. I don't... I'm done with the Mac's not the guy. Like, Mac is the guy.
No, he's not.
Now, Mac doesn't have this dynamic, like, you know, skill set like Lamar Jackson. Like, again, who does? Like, he's a unicorn. Like, nobody does. He's so special
Josh
and unique.
Josh Allen.
Well, look, Josh Allen. I mean, he was crying into the arms of Tua Tagovailoa yesterday. Like, we got to talk about that tomorrow.
Ken Dorsey had a good time, too.
But Josh Allen doesn't have world-class speed like Lamar Jackson does, like, as far as his breakaway speed. He's a good runner. But he's totally different.
All right, listen, let's take a break here. We're waiting to see if Mac Jones is going to join us again. We plan on talking to him by phone, apparently. I know he's talking to the media. We see you guys all lined up. There's a couple calls I want to get to. We'll do that after the break if we're not joined here by Mac Jones. We expect him soon.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, so we're still waiting on Mac Jones. All I can tell you is what we know. He was supposed to meet with the media via Zoom at 3:45, and then we were going to talk to him by phone, not in person. We're down here at Gillette. Then it was moved to 4:15 with the media via Zoom, and he has yet to meet with them, right? So now 30 minutes late after already a 30-minute delay. So when we find out more about what's going on, we're talking to the media, and obviously, when he's going to join us, we will let you know. But first, let's get to some of these phone calls. I want to start with Michael from Cambridge. Apparently, is a doctor and knows a little bit about these surgeries. Oh. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's up?
So, I'm a foot and ankle surgeon at Cambridge Health Alliance, and in fact, work with the company and faculty for the company that's produced this device that you call the tightrope. And essentially, it is an internal brace. It's a suture-type technique that we do to essentially put a safety belt over the healing ligamentous structures. And the reason why you drill holes is you've got to anchor that tape into the place where the natural footprint of that ligament is. The intent ultimately is to be able to dynamize and rehabilitate this patient or this individual faster. So if we can protect the healing tissue
with a safety belt. We can get them into physical therapy faster. We know now, when I trained many years ago, I've been at this for 30 years, everybody with ligamentous injuries, a lot of times we would immobilize them, put them in casts, we'd cause all this issues weakening, and then we'd have to rehabilitate them. Well, we've learned in sports medicine that dynamization of the body and tissue advances the healing. But can we do this in a protected fashion? And that's exactly where this internal brace or this tightrope has come into play, not only just in the foot and ankle, but other places in orthopedics and shoulder, the wrist. And so we've come to realize that if we can maintain normal anatomy and we can get these patients rehab faster, yep. I get athletes back into sport in 4 to 6 weeks.
Doc, let me ask you one question. The severity of the tear, does that play into it? In other words, if it's a severe tear, you just can't do tightrope. It's too much.
No, not at all. In fact, it's even better, in fact, because you're going to protect that connective tissue. And I often do these frequently with an arthroscopic procedure. I will actually put a small scope in there, examine the tear directly. MRIs are very good, but they can also really hyper kind of demonstrate an injury. So I'll put in it. Now we have a tiny 1.9 millimeter needle scope I'll put into the ankle joint, examine the ankle, see the ligaments directly, and do the repair accordingly. Sometimes we've done these all arthroscopic technique as we advance more and more.
Okay. Real quick, one last thing. What would be a realistic timetable then with this tightrope? Is it 4 weeks like out in Alabama?
Case in point is Tua. You guys brought him up. Tua, and this is one of my colleagues down in Alabama. He was back and playing, I think it was 4 to 6 weeks after injury. So if, you know, all goes well, it's not complicated, the healing goes well, it's a straightforward approach, you can see him back on the field in 4 to 6 weeks, for
right,
sure.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Here you go.
Well, that's the good news, Tyler. So the good news is 4 to 6 weeks. The good news is not 8 weeks.
Well, he lives like me sometimes.
I like Dr. Michael.
You expect him to be out for the year,
can
and then he
Patriots
comes back in 8 weeks.
Can we get the
Patriots
to reach out to Dr. Michael?
Nobody. Maybe Dr. Michael is on his way down.
So we need a new show bet. We could put a card
right,
table on.
Let's
this.
Do it.
I don't like
I'm
that.
I'm down. Let's go.
That's some bad juju.
One chip challenge with no liquid.
Those Alabama hardos.
Oh, wait. Yeah, because did we even, like, I heard this morning.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay,
but there's some
okay.
people in Bama doing their own version of a one chip challenge.
Not the smart one.
Really?
Not the smart one, yeah.
Why are they doing that? It was cool like 5 years ago.
Not as smart as me. That's true. A good point. All right, let me get some more calls here. I want to go to Jesse in New Bedford talking about Mac Jones. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Good. A couple things everybody's not really harping on here. And one, does anybody realize that that Calais Campbell hit, I think it was a dirty play because the whole thing about this year is they don't want the defenders landing on the quarterback. But if you look at that play, after Mac Jones throws it, he bear hugs him, and he hangs on him and falls on him to the ground. To me, it was a dirty play. And if you go back earlier in the game, Mac Jones was mouthing off to a couple of players.
Queen.
And I don't know.
And, not smart
yeah,
either,
exactly.
By the way.
And then, it wasn't. You know, Mac Jones, he's tough at meals, man. That kid, he took a high-low shot last week. With the back spasms, you know what I mean? And he still came out there. My point is, I agree with Boomer. Mac Jones looked really good, and we need to start getting some respect behind his name as far as his athleticism. He needs some plays, and that's why everybody says, oh, can he make plays? He's not athletic. Well, he showed that when Matt Patricia calls some jabroni calls and leaves his team out to dry on fourth and short with those stupid flat passes there that the Ravens were all over, he bailed us out of a lot of a plays.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate it. I don't know. We just can't cherry pick. Like, it's a four-quarter game. That's all. Like we said before, for that first interception, he was playing great. He had a bad throw, a bad moment, and in this game, he threw it right to a defender. He threw it right to the defender in the red zone earlier that was actually dropped, and then he came back and threw it right to a defender again. So, you know, we could cherry pick and say, yeah, he's great in the first quarter. I mean, stop ragging on him. Well, okay, you got to finish the game. That's all. Finished the game. I thought he was outstanding.
Well, that's isn't that lowering the bar? Isn't that lowering the bar?
Totally lowering the bar.
Oh, you know, listen. It's like you know, it's an attaboy. Listen, hey, you know what? Baby step. We're gonna baby step our way through this. This, I just don't feel like that. I don't think necessarily. So you go through the calls that were made. So I think the calls are fine. I don't think 90% of the problems are other people. I think they're other players. Like there, the offensive line issues. There's getting sacked, not getting the right call issue. I feel like That's part of it also. And I don't think you bring it up.
I'm just rewatching. I don't think there's any way you could call this a dirty play.
No, I don't think it was.
He's going for the sack. He happens to have his leg. He's pulling him down. He's not hitting him in a bad place. He just has his leg on his leg, and he's like a freaking 300-whatever-pound dude.
And look who it is. Calais Campbell's like a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee every year.
That's not what happened.
Let me go to one more call before we get to the break, because this guy brings up somebody that was AWOL again, I believe. Let's go to JB in Lowell. Go ahead, JB.
Hello. How are you, folks? First-time caller.
Oh, Lord. All right, what's up, buddy?
I'd like to talk about Christian Barmore. I mean, we all hear about him being like the next Richard Seymour, and I'll tell you, I've heard his name twice in three games. Twice.
I think it's a fair question.
Yep.
Lou, this was supposed to be your guy.
Yeah,
Christian
forget
Barmore.
About Hunter
what
Henry.
The
what, happened
going
to,
on?
What happened to Barmore?
No, he's Andy Hart's guy. I kept saying how everybody was overhyping him, to be perfectly honest with you, and let's see what he looks like in year two. But because in camp, everybody was falling in love with him. Yeah, he's supposed to be the guy. And Carlo's absolutely right. He showed up last week, but 2 out of 3 weeks, I don't expect a 1-for-3 showing from a guy that's supposed to be all pro, could be top 5 defensive tackle, which is what a lot of people were labeling him as.
Yeah, and I would say we spent a big chunk of the day talking about the offense and Mac Jones and their issues. But defensively, I mean, let's not act like that was a great performance by them.
It was in the first half when they were containing Lamar Jackson.
Okay, so
and
they,
Dietrich Wise had 3 sacks.
And you have this in the rundown. I thought it was classic because it was the most forgettable 3-sack game I think I can remember a Patriot player having. Like, he was dominant. Dominant.
It was like every time Lamar went down, you were like, that's Wise again?
So they have this backup left tackle come in.
Fourth left tackle.
Yeah, so that guy was just fa-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The backup third string left tackle, he was abusing him and was getting no help from the back. But fine, he takes advantage of the opportunity, but he was doing more than just that. Chasing Lamar Jackson, keeping him in bounds, not letting him get extra yardage, not getting juked out of his pants. So I thought he played great, but we'll never talk about it because they lost.
Yeah.
I heard a break.
What's that?
I heard break. I heard it too.
Yeah, we're still waiting. Like we said, we're still waiting on Mac Jones. Who knows what is going on there. When we come back, we got to get into Kendrick Bourne. I feel like we talk about this every single week. Little Jordan Humphrey, more snaps than Kendrick Bourne. We'll get into why again. We're still trying to figure this thing out. Kendrick Bourne, just not as involved as everybody would like. Continue to talk Pats. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.